basketball, a game of giants. And there's number 99, George Mikan, one of the greatest.
Perhaps the most complete player the game has ever seen. The Lakers captain, Elgin Baylor.
2 seconds, 1 second. West throws it up.
Jerry West made it from the other side of the mid-point stripe.
Ford sends it to Kareem. Sky hook up and good. Lakers win.
Magic down the middle, just what I thought. A hook shot at 12. Good!
Shaquille fade away.
Giants for the win. James puts up the three. Oh, it's good!
Doncic on the drive. Step back. Puts it up. Puts it in! With 5 tenths of a second remaining!
What's up, Laker fans? You're listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. I'm Pete, joined by Darius. And this weekend was probably the most fun I've had watching Lakers Summer League basketball since 2017. Started out with Rob Pelinka openly flirting with Peyton Watson on Friday night. Cameron Carr continuing his stellar summer league play, showing off three-level scoring. He's blocked a jump shot in every single game that he's played in so far. Had a nice transition swat off of the backboard. Followed by Adu Thiru with an absolutely spectacular performance, crammed about 5-6 games worth of highlights into one as the Lakers just dismantled Ade Mara and the OKC Thunder. Followed by Saturday night, Carr did not play, but the Lakers carried on, and Arthur Kaluma absolutely making his case for a two-way contract with a 34-point performance while being superb on the defensive end, as he's been pretty much every game over the course of his summer league between the California Classic and Vegas. And Lakers winning a blowout after going on like a 15-0 run in that fourth quarter. Dee, what were your impressions of a very fun summer league weekend?
So Friday night was just fantastic. It's funny, man. In the California Classic, they went 2-1, and it was good to get the wins, but they were fairly uninspiring wins outside of Carr playing well, obviously, and then like Adu starting to find his rhythm. But I was definitely cranky after that first game where they lost and played poorly. And I think I was really starting to feel like, oh man, the guard play on this team in terms of just managing things. Like Carr can play like a guard and Adu's a forward, but they were giving him the ball some. I was just like, oh, what is this team? What are they going to do in Vegas? I've been seeing clips of all the like high-level rookies and all the highlights that were happening. I was just like, man, Lakers about to go to Vegas, and hopefully Carr and Adu continue to play well, but they're probably going to get blown off the court, and what's this going to look like? Stupid me, Pete. These dudes were awesome. I was like, they have shortened their rotation. They're playing like 9 guys, essentially 10 guys maybe, but the main dudes are getting a lot of run, and that first game, Adu was just incredible. And it's funny seeing the Lakers being the athletic team, the team with positional size, the team that's just sort of overwhelming these other dudes. Like, oh, we got all these dudes running up and down. And I remember the last pod we recorded before some summer league started, you were just like, what do you want to see? I was just like, well, what I really want to see is they supposedly got all this defensive talent on this team. How about they play some defense and make some highlights? And these first two games in Vegas have been exactly that. It's like they've been defending. They've been getting out in transition. They've been dunking the damn ball. And in the half court, they've really started to refine what they're doing and split cut actions, playing through the elbows and high post and running actions. And this is what you do when you don't have guards. They're not a heavy pick and roll team. They are playing through their forwards, and it's fun, and guys are moving off the ball and they're getting to the basket that way and making three pointers. It's been impressive with what Carr did in that first game. Adu's had two very good games, and what Kaluma was doing, sign me up, man.
He was great in the first one too. He went like 6-for-6, had some great corner crashes, was a big part of that athletic dominance. I want to give a brief shout out to two players that I don't think I have any chance at a two-way contract or anything like that, but I felt like William Hickey has stabilized the guard play just from that management standpoint, while also being that kind of grimy, dirty defender that plays along with the rest of the squad. And then Antoine Watson starting at the five, I thought, has really helped the Lakers go five out, and that's part of how they were able to just totally dismantle Ade Mara. Like, they made him look slow and incapable of defending. And then, of course, Mannion on the ball has been the main defensive star for this team. But yeah, on Friday night, Adu, man, there's so much about Adu that's fascinating because it's a mixed bag for sure, but he's got some real on-ball ability where For one, I don't think I've seen a better athlete at Summer League, and I think you'd be hard-pressed to find too many better athletes on the NBA level. And when you combine his ability to jump with how fast he is for his size, but also how strong he is, he's just a very strong player that he gets fouled all the time. He's getting fouled just 10 times a game, it seems like. And it's that, I know you can't shoot, you know you can't shoot. I don't think he's hit a three in any of these games, despite some attempts. But he keeps just going to the basket over and over again and getting fouled. If you've ever played with somebody who's on like two tiers higher athletically than you're at, that's what happens from the park all the way up through the NBA. And so seeing that happen over and over again, and then also a degree of like drive and kick ability. He had this amazing drive and then wraparound pass out to the corner for a three in the Friday night game. I think he only had one turnover in that game and has really been like an on-ball threat in ways that I hadn't considered him in that way, but there's something there that they should keep developing from that. Even though you can't shoot, you're such a dominant driver that you're still very hard to guard and you're going to be able to produce. And it's funny too, D, because if you think about this Summer League squad, they are pretty much the opposite of what I think this Lakers team is going to be. And it's super fun seeing an athletically dominant squad that's defending and all of that, but there are jobs available. I'm excited about the third string and the development of what could be in a year or two with a lot of these guys. And yeah, just seeing it across the board defensively with Mannion, Adu, Kaluma, all these guys, I think they're just really defending, got out in transition. And against Dallas, they didn't have that same advantage, but they went to a 2-3 zone and really mucked things up and made a guard like Ryan Nembhard, who's a very good distributor, look pretty bad. And just, yeah, super exciting to watch them play like that.
I want to circle back to Mannion because he can't shoot either. And he's getting like increasingly frustrated with every three that he takes that doesn't go in. Because you could tell that he's like, I need to be making these. And you could also tell that he's probably been putting in the work because he wouldn't be getting this frustrated if during pregame or off days, he wasn't going 6 for 6 or 7 for, like whatever, from these same spots that he's getting open threes from, and he's just missing them in games. But Mannion is the type of defender where he's so good on defense, there are times where it looks like he's not trying or he just understands where the play is going. So multiple times in sort of early offense chances, and this happened against the Mavs a bunch of times too, where guys were running in transition and the ball was past half court and Mannion could have turned and ran, but he just continued in his back pedal. And sort of this understanding of run all you want, if the ball starts to go to you, I'll turn and do whatever I need to at that point. There's been a bunch of times where guys have tried to get by him and he's sort of just let them slip by a little bit and then recovered and then slapped the ball off their leg and then it's going the other way. And he's very intentionally dogged at the point of attack. But in other parts of the court, he has this natural defensive ability where he's just like, I know what I'm doing out here. Mm-hmm. And I don't need to always be in my stance. And he's such an interesting defensive prospect to me because he's not super big. Like if he was 6'7 or 6'8, I honestly think he'd be in the league already.
Totally.
Because with his natural sort of defensive intensity, he'd just be overwhelming. But him being like 6'4-ish essentially makes it so that he can guard up well and he competes well, but at that size, he needs to be able to shoot it a little bit more. But I've also enjoyed some of the offensive stuff that he's been doing. And in this past game, without Carr, he had a couple of drives and little reverse pivot for a finish around the basket. A couple games ago, he hit that step back three. But you could tell that he understands what he's supposed to do on offense, but he's just an interesting player to me. I'm very glad that he's still on a two-way for next season.
And he's the only one that I think should have it all the way locked in. He's certainly earned that, and he does that job of guarding the ball better than any other Laker, I believe. So let's go to break here, come back. I want to talk a little bit more about him and then talk about Arthur Kaluma. Mannion's improved as a finisher, and that's the biggest question about him, and is, okay, well, what do you do with him on offense? He hasn't had a ton of catch-and-shoot three opportunities, and it's certainly not a strength of his, but hasn't been a large sample at all, but he's found some ways to get buckets, and on the defensive end, all of those deflections and ball knocked off of a leg and things like that, it's really how the whole team is playing, and Mannion has spearheaded that. And one guy that's been great in this respect as well has been Kaluma. He went nuts last night as a scorer, scoring 34 points, hitting, what, 6 or 7 threes. But he was somebody that you and I were talking about a couple of games ago as well. Like, this Kaluma guy can play. He's defending. He's got good size and physical traits. And after the game last night, he was like, you know, I got hot, and that's great, but I really hang my hat on the defensive end. And so I think he's somebody the Lakers need to lock up as soon as they can. I've been really impressed with him. 24 years old, first season in the pros last year with South Bay, played well with them. What do you think of Arthur Kaluma?
All right, Pete. So before I get into all the gushing about Kaluma, I'm going to start with the bad part first. All right. And honestly, this is almost unforgivable. He's from Boston, Massachusetts.
Oh,
so
this breaking my heart.
So I hate to start with the worst part first, but that's about the only bad thing about it right now, because he's been playing awesome. This last game, of course, he was on fire. And the last three that he took, like the logo three, where he's just like,
why not?
Well, all right, I got 31 points. Been knocking down the rest of these. Just let me bomb this. But the thing that he was doing against Dallas, which I thought was very nice to see, and he's been doing it in Vegas in both the games, is leveraging the fact that he's hitting his jumper and turning those into drives and getting to the basket some, and not just being this spot-up catch-and-shoot guy, but ripping closeouts, finishing around the basket, getting fouled, knocking down his free throws. And offensively, you could tell that he just knows what he's doing. Obviously, it all looks better when the jumper's falling, but a couple of finishes in and around the paint, absorbing contact and finishing, beating Merez Johnson on a drive off of a closeout where he's able to sort of get his shoulders by and then finish at the basket. These are just really good basketball plays from him. Defensively, he's just got good positional size for like a wing who's shooting it this well. He's sort of a tweener forward to me, and he doesn't have a ton of athletic pop. But you could tell that he's a sturdier player. And I saw some comments online that he's put on a little bit of weight, like bulked up and added size within the weight room over the last season and a half or whatever. And that seems to have helped him. He had a couple of contested rebounds in this game as well, where he was sort of fighting in there. And this is the sort of work that you want from a player like him. And I think you're right. The comment you made earlier about Mannion being the only guy who's on a two-way who you feel like has for sure locked up his spot. Kaluma should be on one of these two ways, honestly, Pete. Like, it spoke volumes to me that Carr was out and neither Suter nor Okoroke, they both still came off the bench as two-way players. And so I get that the Lakers just signed these guys, but for me, Kaluma's showing that he can play to a level here that if he puts together one more game, if I'm some other team, I'm going to be like, look, man, like, do you want to sign a two-way with us? Like, because the combination of just being able to hit shots at this level at his size is super helpful, but if he's going to compete defensively and be like a baseline level athlete where he's a good enough athlete, that's what this is about to me. Like, I see you nodding your head here. I'm assuming that you agree that give one of these two ways from Suter or whatever, just give it to this guy instead.
Absolutely. And Suter had an excellent second half. I need to be fair against Dallas. We've been giving him some crap, but he was very good at what he does in that second half. But yeah, that combination of length and strength from Kaluma, those contested rebounds amongst the trees, and a strong guy in Merez Johnson as well. Johnson hit him with a nice move to start the fourth quarter, sort of shook him. And then the next play, Kaluma got his revenge and had a really good stop there that he's contributing in a whole bunch of different ways. Against OKC, he was dominating as a corner crasher. I think he had three separate and ones in that game. I think he's made every free throw that he's taken over the course of Summer League, and just shooting the leather off of the ball for sure. But it's really that strength and length that if you have that, you don't need to be some crazy above the rim athlete. And I don't think he's a bad athlete by any means, but that type of forward also, D, is that's the spot that we have a lot of holes to fill. And I had a conversation with somebody with the team on Friday night, and we'll talk more about it in a later pod, but more broadly speaking, the Lakers are on a youth movement in a lot of ways, and it leads to a broader question of, like, what's the purpose of two-way contracts in the first place?
I see these as avenues for players who could potentially end up making an impact on this specific team, like on this Lakers team. I don't see them as avenues towards like, oh, well, we need G League players. There's a reason two-way contracts get an allocation of NBA games within their contracts. It's to bolster the depth on your team and to potentially have a real avenue to being able to like make the roster eventually. And this is why a couple of years ago, the Lakers had three centers on two ways. It was their weakest position. They were looking for players who could supplement that role. And honestly, I think last year it was another reason why they had guards. It was like they kept shuffling through like, oh, Nick Smith and Kobe Bufkin and guys like that who were, all right, like, can we use these players? I thought the same thing about Timmy, right? Where it's just like, okay, well, center depth would be useful here. And this is why when I look at this year's Lakers team, I could understand Suter, for example. Like, okay, like maybe there's a guard depth need. They've lost several guards. But the spot that's lacking on the team is defense and wing play. That's where they currently don't have the players. And I would be trying to lock up as many guys at those positions as possible.
And it's much harder to find a guy who's eventually going to be, for example, a really good center or eventually be a really good shot creator at these spots. But you can find defensive first wings that grow into something more. So I want to take a break here, come back and give a couple examples of that. So, of course, Alex Caruso is a shining example from recent Lakers history of being a G League player. He had 1 year with OKC's G League team before coming over to the Lakers, but develops into a key contributor that we still miss. If you look at last year's finals, you have Julian Champagne, who was sort of on the bargain bin. It was gettable by a lot of different teams that I don't think prior to the year anybody was thinking, oh, Champagne's going to really be a starting caliber wing all the way throughout the playoffs. He was awesome throughout the playoffs. It's very hard to find analogs at shot creators from the G League perspective or big men. But this is not a super unusual circumstance. Lu Dort was undrafted, starting at two guard for the champion 2 years ago. And so this is a position where you can grow significant talent that can become something bigger on that big club in ways that those other spots, it's much harder to find. Now, Dort is more, I guess his analog would be Mannion on this team. And Kaluma's a bit bigger, but a little bit closer to the Champagne type of archetype that can knock down some threes, but can defend and wrestle with some of the bigger fours. Dorian Finney-Smith, I remember watching him at Summer League almost 10 years ago being like, that guy's going to stick with the team somewhere. The Lakers have really obvious needs, which in some ways simplifies things for them. And I think they should be really overloading on these types of guys wherever they can.
Last night, I had texted you and said, could Kaluma be the Lakers version of Spencer Jones? Jones is a forward for the Denver Nuggets. Jones was on a two-way contract for much of the season last year. And then he was so important to them because of their forward injuries that he slotted in and started. And, you know, he's got that funky-looking jumper, but he competes defensively, was knocking down threes. And his dimensions are almost exactly the same as Kaluma's. He's about 6'7", and I think listed around 240 or 250.
Damn.
So a little bit bigger than Kaluma. But in general, like, just a wing forward-sized player that could hit some threes and is going to compete defensively isn't the best athlete or whatever. But look, if you've got the requisite size and you're going to play hard, you're making up a bunch there. And I would just love it. The Lakers just decided, like, no, man, out of all the players, if I were to ask you to power rank the players from this Lakers Summer League team, Kaluma would be what, second? Third? Mm-hmm. Behind, like, it would basically be some combination of him, Carr, and Thero. And if that's the case, you've invested draft capital into those other two guys. So if Kaluma's the next guy who's stood out the most, that should say something, right? And I would just hate to see a guy like this end up on another team because he keeps showing out for the Lakers and they're like, oh, well, we like the other guys. And to his credit, just like you said, I think that Suter played well in the second half, but Kaluma's looked good enough to me to be like, okay, no, let's give this guy a real chance and get him into training camp and let's see what's what.
And if just one of these guys hit between Mannion, Kuluma, Adu. I put Carr in a different category because I think he's a better offensive player than defensive player, despite having some defensive talent. But even then with Carr, he's set to make an average of $4 million a year over the next four seasons. So if one of those guys hit, you have team building gold on top of all of that. Whether it's somebody that you can keep as they go forward in the Luka era and have a guy that really contributes like Champagne on a dirt cheap contract, that allows you to do so much more in other places. If it's Mannion being your real attack dog on ball defender, then do that. But they got to give him a chance, D. This has not been a team that's really played its young guys a whole heck of a lot. Like Mannion was on that two-way contract last year. We had this type of need, even though we had Marcus, that was pretty much the guy that did that in terms of guards. And I would love to see these guys actually get some minutes over the course of this year. And I think that the 11 through 15 of this roster really needs to be cleared out and populated with these exact type of players. Because if just one of them hits, you end up in a whole different team building situation going forward.
Well, it's interesting, right? Because one of the things that we've been lamenting about the team the last couple of years is how the draft picks just haven't panned out, right? Like Jay Jess is long gone. Dalton, after a really good start his rookie season, is basically not been a contributor at all. It's one of the reasons why, regardless of, I know that LeBron's gone or whatever, and I don't know what's going to happen with Bronny, but Bronny playing a role during the playoffs and just not looking unplayable and sort of actually just fitting in and doing his job and playing defense and making some shots and just being an athlete, though a smaller one, but still a real athlete, that was important. And it's one of the reasons why I'm not so eager to just be like, oh, well, wherever LeBron signs, just trade this kid there. It's just like the Lakers have put in 2 years of development resources into this player. And I would hate to just be like, oh, well, send him away now because his dad is gone. Like, no, he played playoff minutes for this team last year. I don't think he's going to slot back into a rotation spot this next season. But to your point about having young athletic players who are going to compete in spots 11 through 15, that idea fits with Bronny as much as any of these guys that we're discussing. And if you're looking at a Mannion who's like a 6'4", 6'5" guy, and then a Kuluma who's going to be a 6'7" guy, will also have a 6'2" version of that guy in Bronny, right? And have these pieces that you're constantly trying to develop. If you're going to pay Luka 35% of the cap or 30% of the cap, and Austin's going to make 25% of the cap, and then you've got Kessler and these guys who are taking up big dollar amounts, you have to supplement them at the end of your roster and potentially find guys who hit, who are making less than $5 million a year. And that's your point about Carr as well, is like, if your first round pick should show that he can play. And it can't be three of these dudes in a row. And that's one of the reasons why I'm excited about Carr as well, is that the nature of his game seems to slot so seamlessly onto a team that has shot creation already. And when I look at a guy like Kuluma and these other players, it's just like, where do you fit? And I see the fit with some of them. And so I'd hate to see them be snatched up by another team, particularly Kuluma, who can be, and just be like, oh man, like he spent all last year on our G League team and now is showing out in Summer League, and all for what? For him to sign with another team? Like, no, man, lock him in already.
Yeah.
Just do it.
If I could build out the two-way contracts, it would be Mannion, Kuluma, and if there's a five around the Summer League somewhere else that is really impressing. And if not, Okereke's been fine. I don't have any issues with him, but I also don't think that that spot should be locked in either. All right, so Darius is going to be out on a much-deserved vacation for a little bit. We'll be back next week. I will be recording a couple of solo pods, probably doing a scouting report here and there. Might have a guest or two as well over the rest of this week. So, D, I can't wait to talk to you about this idea of a Lakers youth movement when you come back. Again, I had a really interesting conversation on Friday that I want to get into some of the details about, but it's a little more big picture, and we'll wait for you to come back to have that. But until Tuesday, you've been listening to the Laker Film Room Podcast. We'll catch you guys next time.
Baines has got it in low to McHale. McHale wants to turn. He's double teamed. Just pass out in front. Broken up by Worthy. Tip to Magic. Worthy dies on his belly. Magic scores.
There's Magic got it. Magic fires. It's in. The Lakers win the game. The Lakers win the game. Rebound of Lowry. 3 seconds left. Van Exel to win it. It's on the way. Good.
Kobe Bryant. 48 points. 16 rebounds. Shaq with his eighth block.
shot that ties an NBA Finals record.
A lot of Laker fans sticking around for this.
You're seeing something that's very rare indeed. A Laker to get MVP chance
right, in Boston.
In Boston.
Of all places.
Are you kidding me?
Kobe. Hard to believe.
Are you kidding me?
Unreal.
Are you kidding me?
Lakers looking to push. Bryant spinning in the lane. Back for Gasol. Ready pass. And it's back to a three-point game.
Kobe Bryant picked up by Bell.
There's the move.
Two.
One.
Miss it.
Bryant. For the victory.
It's over.
Shot clock now to five. Bryant.
Yes.
And that was a little tough to Alvin Gentry.
Add insult to injury, Kobe. I mean, what a shot. I mean, you can't defend that. Are you kidding me?
2.1 seconds remaining. Denver a foul to give. Jokic trying to disrupt Rondo. He puts it in. Here's Davis. 4-3 in the win. Oh, it's good. Anthony Davis has won it for the Lakers. James again. Oh, he hits another one. LeBron James putting together a closing quarter against the Nuggets.
This historic 2020 NBA championship belongs to the Los Angeles Lakers. The Lakers conquer the bubble, and banner number 17 will soon hang in the rafters.